Okay, we're going to start today Megillas Eicha. Get a little bit of a better understanding in the Megillah. So, first thing to understand, I'm sure everybody realizes each kina, each perek in Megillas Eicha, starts with the word Eicha. So tomorrow we'll get into what that word Eicha, what it means. Eicha is like how, right? A lotion of bewilderment, how? There's five prokim in Eicha. Right? So if you look in Megillas Eicha, it's broken up to five prokim. Each perek is dealing with another issue. The first four prokim is basically mourning over another element. Right? And the last perek is just looking for the future. Basically, davening for the future. So if you look, you break it up. First perek starts off, Eicha Yoshva Vodod Hoyir HaBosiyam. So the first perek is talking about Yerushalayim. Basically, a kina on Yerushalayim. Not talking about anybody personally. The city. Eicha Yoshva Bodir Hayir HaBosiyam. Koyaneo, Bachureo. Even when we talk about it, we're talking about the people of Yerushalayim. It's all Yerushalayim. That's the first perek. You go to the second perek. Eicha Yoriv Ba'apa is Bas Tziyayin. Hishlich Mishamayim Eretz Teferes Yisrael. So the second kina, second perek in Eicha, is dealing with the Jewish nation. We have so many spiritual milas as a nation. We lost a lot of them by the Churban. So it's basically mourning over the spiritual level of the Am Yisrael. That's number two. Third perek. Third perek is personal kina that each individual has. In other words, the kina of Yirmiyah wrote Sefer Eicha. So he himself, Ani, he writes, he starts off the perek, Ani agever ro'ani. I saw, I witnessed the devastation. That's a personal devastation that each Jew has. That's the third. And the fourth is talking about the physical. Till now it was spiritual. Yerushalayim, the level of the nation of Klai Yisrael as a nation, individual, the final, the fourth perek, is the physical. If you look at the pasuk, it says, Eicha Yuam Zov, it's all talking about the glory, the physical glory of Klai Yisrael that got destroyed by the Churban. And then the fifth is just davening for the future. It starts, the fifth perek starts by Zechor Hashem Mahoyolonim. Right? So that's not even to do with the past. It's looking at the future. That's why the fifth perek in Eicha doesn't go with the olive bays like the other ones. The other ones are all olive bays. Fifth perek is just a tefillah on the future. So we're going to go through these prokim. We'll try to get a handle on them. Today we're going to talk about the first part. We talked about churban beis hamikdash like an almana, right? It says, how does it start? Hoisok almana. It was like an almana, talking about Yerushalayim, like a widow. So we find Shilas, what do we mean by it's like a widow? What is a widow? How does that fit what the churban is? From any analogy you would make, you wouldn't say a widow. If you knew of a shul that got destroyed, you wouldn't say, oh, it's like a widow. It's not a term that you would describe. So the first thing we have to understand is that there are elements of the churban that are compared to a marriage. In other words, we know when the Beis HaMikdash was built, it was considered a marriage to Klal Yisrael, like a chasana. In fact, Chazal say Matan Torah was like Erison, right? And Beis HaMikdash was like Nisuin. It was like a marriage. That's why you find the phraseology in the Megillah of a wife. Get, Gerishin, Almana, because there's, so we'll have to get a handle on that. And then we find a contradiction. And I'm going to just read you a couple of the stiras. You probably remember this in your head somewhere, but you probably didn't look at it like a stira. The Gemara in Gittin says like this on this pasuk. Eiza sefer krisis imachem. It's really quoting a pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Nun, where Hashem says, Koyamai Hashem, Eiza sefer krisis. Which get, which Sefer Krisis did I ever write to you? I never wrote a Sefer Krisis to you. Meaning Hashem is telling us, I never gave you a get. Eiza Sefer Kriya. I never sent you a get. That's the... Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's another Gemara, Daf Kufei. The Gemara says, Shmuel Amabo Asar B'nei Adam. He says, Isha Shagir Shabai L'Klum Yesh Lam Zal Zal Klum. Omei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Novi. Eiza Sefer Kriya Zimochem. I never gave you a get. Basically, Hashem tells Klal Yisrael, even though the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed, I never gave you a get. You never got a get from me. That's one element. Second element is a pasuk in Yirmiyah Paragimel. Yirmiyah Novi says as follows. V'erek yalkol oidois ha-shenefa. He says, V'etain sefer krisu seilo. Hashem says, I gave a get to Klal Yisrael. Etain sefer krisu seilo. See, there was a get. So here we have the Gemara in Sanhedrin says no get. We have the, that Gemara is quoting a pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Nun, that says that there was no get. And then you go to Yirmiyah Perek Gimel, and Hashem says clearly, "For etan a sefer krisus ela, I gave Klal Yisrael a sefer krisus." So by us in Eichet it says Almana. In Yirmiyah, in Yeshaya Novi says, I never gave a get creases to you. Yirmiyah calls it a get. So we're like all over the place. We're almana in Eicha. We're not a Gerusha in Sefer Yeshaya. And in Sefer Yirmiyah, Hashem says, I gave you a get. It's clearly I gave you a get. So what's obviously what's going on? Then we have a Gemara in Yuma. Famous Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara is talking about at the end of Maseches Yuma, the greatness of Tshuva. The Gemara says, Tshuva is Deicha Lois Sei Shebetara. Why is it Deicha Lois Sei Shebetara? The Gemara says, Amar B'yechnan, G'day L'Tshuva, it's Peivav Amud Beis in Yuma. G'day L'Tshuva, Shedeicha Lois Sei Shebetara. We know if a person is married, he divorces his wife, and then she goes and marries somebody else, he's not allowed to take her back. That lav is called machzik rishos. You're not allowed to take your ex back. Once you divorce her, it's done. Can't take her back. Yet, Hashem, Mitz Hashem is going to take us back. So the Gemara says, G'day lo tshuva, shedeich alois esay shebetar. Because you see, with tshuva, Hashem takes us back after we strayed away, like, as though we married somebody else. It's a poetic way of saying we got involved in Averis, Avedazar, or whatever. The Novi says, if somebody divorces his wife and she goes off with somebody else, marries somebody else, he can't take her back afterwards. And Hashem writes, the Adzonis Rabbim, you went and you were with other people, meaning you Isaac and Avedazar, and Hashem tells us, the Shumei Lainu Hashem. So Rashi says, Lo yuchal b'ayla rishon. Comes out, l'chayr, that there was a get. There was a get given. Right? L'chayr, there was a get. That's what's being said here. There was a get. And that's the greatness of tshuva. That even though there was a get, and Hashem sent us away, He could still take us back. So fine, it sounds like a get. So what's the pshat? So I'll tell you an idea that I really built already from somebody, Rav Yisrael Azari, Zechen Levracha, but I tied it into another difficult medrash. The medrash brings down that there's two kinds of almana. There's an almana that's tevas ksubasa, almana that's collecting her ksuba. You remember from Maseches Ksubas. Almana has a right when her husband dies. She has two choices. She could either stay in the house where she lived with her husband and be supported from the estate. That means the estate keeps on paying her, the Yorshim, support her. The other approach is she could take a get and exhumate. It's not a get anymore, she's dead. Collect the exhumate. Collect the exhumate, she goes on, she could go married, and now she's off. She's not connected to the estate anymore. So, Now let's look at the Churban for a minute. And I think we'll get a better idea in this whole thing. Go look at the Churban. We find a very interesting thing. Bayis Rishon. Beis HaMikdash got destroyed. The whole country was devastated. Means economically, it was terrible. No money, no food. People were starving. Shreklach. But the Navi says, Anshe Yehuda, the people living in Yehuda, which they lived the closest to the Beis HaMikdash. They lived out on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. They had food. It was only the rest of the country that didn't have food. So everybody asks. It's the opposite. Yerushalayim was the war zone. That's where the Churban was. So it makes sense that people living in Eilat, yeah, they didn't feel the war so much. But Anshe Yehuda, they were in the war zone. How could it be that the people in Yehuda had food? They were in the worst place. That would be like you have a nuclear explosion, and where the nuclear bomb lands, the people are fine. And then you go a couple thousand miles out, and people are dying from the nuclear effects. Sugar. But that's what happened. The pasuk says, Anshe Yehuda, they had enough food. Pella, no. So I gave a Pasha the Peshat, based on Rabbi Isaac Harif, and it's confined to this idea. Pasha Peshat. Almona, as long as she's mourning over her husband, the estate continues to support her. The husband's dead. Okay, the husband's dead, but the estate still pays her. The second she's not mourning over her husband, she wants to collect the ksubis, she wants to now go and get married, they don't support her anymore. That means it's her choice if she wants to continue having a connection to her husband that died. You understand? If she wants to keep a connection, she keeps on getting supported from the estate. If she decides, kol tov, time to move on, she doesn't get support anymore. Anshe Yehuda, the people lived in Yehuda, they were close to the Beis HaMikdash. They were close to the Rabbanu Shalom. To them, the main thing was, they felt the Beis HaMikdash, they felt the Tzar of the Rabbanu Shalom. They were mourning over the Shekhinah. Because they were mourning over the Shekhinah kept on supporting. The Beis HaMikdash, which was the support of Klal Yisrael, kept on supporting them. Whereas, the people in the outskirts of the country, who didn't feel that relationship with Hashem, they're ready to move on. They weren't mourning over the lack of Shekhinah. The Mela, to them, it didn't support. That's why the people who lived closest and felt Hashem the most, they felt the devastation the least. Mama, so now we understand why Eicha starts with the terminology, Hoysok Almona. Just like an Almona, even though her husband died, she has a choice. She could keep the relationship going. She could still mourn over her husband. And if she does that, the estate keeps on supporting her. We also had that ability. And those that did, the Beis HaMikdash kept on supporting them. And those that didn't, they lost. Now we understand another nekuda. We could also understand, based on this, the Gemara says in Tainus, Kol HaMesabel al Yerushalayim, Zoyche V'Roye B'Simchas, right? Famous Gemara. Anybody who mourns over the Beis HaMikdash, he's Zoyche to see its rebuilding. Right? And somebody's not, won't. So everybody asks, why does it say Zoyche V'Roye? What does Zoyche V'Roye mean? He will merit or he merits? Zoyche V'Roye. Zoyche, he merits. Not he will merit. V'Roye, he sees. It doesn't say V'Yire. It says V'Roye. What do you mean? Beis HaMikdash is not here. Chassam Zayf is cash. Should say, Kol HaMibisabo Al Yerushalayim Yizke V'Yire B'Simchas. Not Zoyche. Right? But according to what we're saying, it's very geshmak. Because those that were Misabo of Beis HaMikdash, right now they benefited from the Beis HaMikdash. Besides for the future. They were Zoyche V'Roye. Right now they were able to feel the Beis HaMikdash. So it wasn't just the future. It was a hargosha that they were able to feel right now. And that's the reason why it's considered like almana. The reason why we bring the phraseology of almana is to say, just like an almana could keep the relationship going, so too, Klai Yisrael were able to keep the relationship going. Now we go to the grusha. It answers the grusha thing also. Here's Rav Elzari's idea. So it's a different idea. There's a famous Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon comes, Rav Sadia Gaon says like this. Mashgiach min hachalonos, Hashem looks from the windows, Meitzitz min hacharakim. He looks through the cracks. The pasuk in Shir Hashim Perek Beis, I'm sure the Olam remembers this pasuk. Rav Sadia Gaon has a fascinating pshat. What's the difference between somebody looking out of a window or looking through the cracks? Simple difference. Whether the person on the other side knows that I'm looking. Right? When I'm looking out of the window, if you're walking on the outside, you see I'm looking at you. Okay? When I'm looking through a crack, you don't know I'm looking at you. It could be that through the crack I see you better than I could even see you through the window. Sometimes you look through something small, you can get a very good vision. But the guy on the other side doesn't see. You know you're looking. You are looking. But he doesn't know you're looking. Dr. Sadia Gaon, the Ribbono Shel Olam never stops looking at Klal Yisrael. Sometimes you may feel like Hashem, you don't feel Hashem's Hashgoch. He's always looking. Sometimes you see it. Zokov Sadia Gaon. Pomim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Manigas Klal Yisrael Begoloi. Everybody sees it. The time of Shlomo HaMelech Beis HaMikdash. Everybody sees it. Shomer Aleihem Kivov HaSeinu V'Eino Menich L'Shum Maligo Behem. That's Mashgiach Min HaChalonos. Roye V'Nireh. He's looking at you and you see him looking at you. Both directions. Whereas Pa'omim, Marigoy some behester upon him. That's like in the time of the Churban. Hashem is still looking at us. But you don't see it. It's through the cracks. Mashgiach min hachalonos. He's looking through the windows. He's still protecting Klal Yisrael. But in order that we should do tshuva, in order we should fix ourselves, he doesn't let us see how much he's looking at us. So we feel the distance. There is no distance. We feel the distance. That's the pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us a get. Because a get has two parts. I'll give you a mashal. Let's say a guy wants to scare his wife. He wants that he's going to divorce her. But he doesn't really want a divorce. But he wants her to realize that if she keeps on spitting in his face, he's going to have to divorce her. But he doesn't want a divorce. I deal with a lot of people like that sometimes, whether it's a husband or a wife, or where they love each other, but they're not treating each other properly. And so sometimes the words come out, the guy says, okay, he'll tell his wife, I'm going to give you a get. Or the wife will say, I'm going to file for a divorce. I want to. They don't even really mean it. They say it. There's a next level. The next level is a guy, he told his wife already 1,000 times, I told this guy recently, I said, you lost it, you're the boy who cried wolf. You know how many times he told your wife you're going to divorce her? I heard you tell it 20 times. You must have told her 1,000 times. She's not believing you anymore. She knows you love her, you're not getting rid of her. I'm going to divorce you. And she did some things to him that wasn't the nicest. So there's another possibility. A guy, Mamish, writes a get. He puts on Puzzle Adam. She doesn't know it's Puzzle Adam. It's not Puzzle Adam. Gives it a get. Shake her up. Let her see. Let her really experience what a get is. Maybe even for a week or two to act like you're divorced. Kol tov. Here's your ksuba. But you're not divorced. In the future, you'll show her that the get was possible. You never divorced her. It looked like a divorce. It wasn't a divorce. That's mamash what Hashem did. Hashem made to the eye, to the naked eye, like Rav Sadia Gaon saying, he's looking at us through the cracks. So he gave us a get that's possible. He didn't mamash divorce us. He made it looks like, it appears. If you look at the psukim, it's very meduyik. Because when Yirmiyahu Novi talks about a get, he says like this. Yirmiyahu Novi says, Vo'ere, he goes to Hashem, saw what our matzav is. Vo'etein Sefer Krisus. I gave them a get. Right? Yishayahu Novi, when he says there's no get, he says, Eze Sefer Krisus, which Sefer Krisus did I give you? Sheshalachti Eschem. I never sent you away. I gave a fake get. It's mamish this point of Rav Sadia Gaon, which is that it appears like the relation, like this, the Rebbeinu Shem is not with us. And that's another reason why he uses this lashon of Hoysa Kalmona. Hoysa Kalmona means that even though you don't see the husband, there was no break in the relationship. So those are the two nekudas, what I think is to be learned out of the first episode. We'll stop for here for today.